So today we are interpreting the story of Moses as he answered the call to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses is the most important person in the Old Testament, bar none. Moses is the most important person in the Jewish faith. He's the guy. So we're going to learn about him today. The main deed that Moses is known for is telling the Pharaoh to let my people go. And we're going to learn what that means to each of us in our own spiritual development. In unity, when we interpret scripture metaphysically, we see each person's story as a stage that we all go through in our journey toward Christ consciousness. We begin our journey in Adam consciousness, Adamhood. And Adam, of course, was the first man. He was of the earth. This is symbolized by as being made from dust. In Genesis 2:7, we read, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." That was Adam. Our spiritual destination is Christ consciousness. So let's look at the story between Adam and Moses just a little bit. In the book of Genesis, we have all the patriarchs. They begin with Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Those are the generations. Abraham, by the way, is considered to be the first person in the Bible who was a real historic person. The stories in Genesis that come before that, like Noah, and there's a lot of good stories, are considered to be more from the realm of myth. But Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs, we believe they have it. And metaphysically, they represent faith. Joseph, being the last generation of the patriarchs, he was sold into slavery by his brothers and ended up in Egypt. This is how the Israelites came to Egypt. This is why, all these years later, they needed to leave Egypt. After Joseph came, there was a famine in the north, and his family followed him there. The book of Genesis ends with the story of the patriarchs and the story of Moses. It's in the first four chapters of the book of Exodus. Exodus meaning, let my people go. Yeah. So when we look at the patriarchs representing faith, and then Moses representing the law, we see that this is a step in spiritual growth. If you look back to the opening of our service, when I pointed out that unity's first principle is a law, this is the kind of law we are talking about. Moses, of course, represents the law. He brought the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. This is like a no-brainer. Another one of the laws that we refer to often in unity is the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. There is a famous old unity author named Elizabeth Sand Turner who wrote books about metaphysical Bible interpretation. Her book on the Old Testament is called Let There Be Light. And she wrote this: faith without understanding of God as law is insufficient. Such faith gradually deteriorates to the sense level, becoming the servant of worldly pride, power, and greed. So we can see that if the patriarchs represent faith, we need to move in then to the next stage, Moses as the law. We're evolving. I wanted to read the definition of the law from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary to you. The Metaphysical Bible Dictionary is unique to Unity. Charles Fillmore wrote most of it and supervised other people who wrote the rest of its big book. All the proper names, nouns, the people, the places, and some of the ones that aren't even capitalized are included with their metaphysical interpretation. the law. Only spiritual things are eternal and real. Right there, that's a law. All inharmonies and seeming limitations in the world are the result of man's error beliefs and thoughts, and man can eliminate them by eliminating error from his mind. That's a law. He can do this by understanding that God's creation is all there is, one presence, one power, and knowing it to be good. In this way, divine ideals are established in mind, and by the law of mind action, they are expressed, thus bringing into manifestation the perfection that ever exists in the ideal. We often compare Moses and Jesus when it comes to the law. Moses is known as the letter of the law. Jesus is known as the spirit of the law. And one of the examples we could use is Moses with the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. This is the letter of the law. And then think about Unity's five principles. They're very basic. They're not restrictive. Anything that is not contrary to what they are is okay, is acceptable. Jesus represents the spirit of the law, and this was demonstrated by his healing people on the Sabbath. This was very much against Jewish law. It was against the letter of the law. But the spirit of the law, healing someone, That exceeds the letter of the law. And before we can evolve into the understanding and practice of the spirit of the law, we need to understand the letter of the law. And we see the same thing in the development of children. Have you ever seen a two-year-old? Oh, yeah, they're really in the letter of the law. It is no. And they show a one-dimensional adherence to this before they are mature enough to appreciate the nuances of the spirit of the law. Now, Egypt is interpreted as sense consciousness, and that term sense consciousness is one that I've only heard in Unity. And if it's the first time you've heard it, it bears explanation. Sense consciousness refers to the five senses. It's the material world. When we say somebody's gone down to Egypt, this is not a good thing. This means they have fallen back into the old belief that their good can come from the outside world, from the material world. Leaving Egypt, therefore, is the stage that we all go through as we learn that our good does not come from the world, as we learn the principles or the laws of God. The story of Moses is the story of each of us as we mature in consciousness and apply spiritual principles to free ourselves from the bondage of the material world. Okay, now get this. Moses was 80 years old when God appeared to him as a burning bush. He lived to be 120. And I wanted to read that scripture to you. Moses was tending a flock of sheep, you know, hanging around the hillside, minding his own business. And all of a sudden, this is in Exodus 3:2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. God called to Moses through a burning bush. And I wanted to read a passage from Pilgrim at Tinker Creek by Annie Dillard. This is one of my very favorite books. She won a Pulitzer Prize for it. One day I was walking along Tinker Creek, thinking of nothing at all. She didn't say that she was minding her flock of sheep, but you know, it was much the same idea. And I saw the tree with the lights in it. I saw the backyard cedar where the mourning doves roost, charged and transfigured, each cell buzzing with flame. I stood on the grass with the lights in it, grass that was holy fire, utterly focused and utterly dreamed. It was less like seeing than like being seen for the first time, knocked breathless by a powerful glance. The flood of fire abated, but I'm still spending the power. Gradually, the lights went out in the cedar, the colors died, the cells unflamed and disappeared. I was still ringing. I had been my whole life a bell and never knew it until at that moment I was lifted and struck. Moses had been his whole life on a mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, but he never knew it until in the moment with the burning bush, he was lifted and struck. And this happens in all of our lives. It happens in more than one way. It can happen from a Satori moment, it has in my life. But it also can happen in a more methodical way as we learn these different steps in consciousness and follow them as we evolve toward Christ consciousness. We are each the Christ, and we usually don't know it until we are lifted and struck one way or another. So it's really cool to think that Moses represents part of your consciousness. But the rest of the story is the Pharaoh represents part of your consciousness. This is like, oh, boo. Moses and the Pharaoh represent two aspects of consciousness, the urge toward growth and the resistance to growth, this tug of war that goes on in each one of us. I know it goes on in me. And the story of the parting of the Red Sea is also an example of this tug in consciousness. When the Pharaoh finally agreed to let the people go, the Israelites, before they left Egypt, went and plundered the Egyptians. They stole things, gold and jewels, and hid them in their saddlebags and their backpacks, and then scurried on out of Egypt following Moses. This is why the Egyptians followed them. So as they approached the Red Sea, God told Moses to raise his staff. The sea parted. The Israelites went across. God had the sea close over the Egyptians and drowned them. But the whole point of this story was the Israelites were on their way to living by the law of God, and they backslid. They thought maybe God won't be enough. Maybe putting God first isn't the right thing to do. Maybe I will need gold when I get to the promised land. Better go get me some. And I know that this is relevant to our own growth when we hedge our bets. And we do this all the time in Unity. One example is often people make a commitment to tithe and then decide that certain types of income don't need to be tithed upon. This is that kind of backsliding, trying to take treasure with us when we leave Egypt, trying to turn back to the belief that our good does come from the material world. These are the old limiting beliefs. They can include not forgiving people. They can include forgetting that divine order underpins every event. They can include forgetting any of Unity's five principles. And sometimes it does take an event as dramatic as the parting of the Red Sea to eliminate this old way of being. It could take a serious illness. It could take going through a divorce, being in a natural disaster, an earthquake. Or it could take a burning bush. However, that shows up in your own life. Back to Elizabeth Sand Turner. She said that three great truths were revealed to Moses. The first is that God wishes all people to be free. The second is that God has prepared a place for all his children, a land of milk and honey. And we know that that place, the kingdom of heaven, is available to us right here and right now. It is a place we reach in this journey in consciousness. And the third is the understanding of God as law, that's being Moses, must lead man from bondage to liberty. So in closing, I want us to remember that Moses' story is our story. We are each striving to be free. We are each learning to put God first. And in these efforts, we will see that God goes before us, just like our daily word said today, leading us, protecting us, walking beside us all the way as we fulfill our earthly mission of returning to Christ consciousness. And thus ends today's lesson. God bless you all.